What's poppin', everybody? Welcome back to another episode of On the Gutter, brought to you guys by Motive Bowling. We've mentioned them a whole bunch these last couple weeks, but obviously we still have the brand new Evoke and the brand new Tank Rampage Pearl that are officially available worldwide. So if you guys are looking for the best bowling balls on the market, make sure you head on over to motivebowling.com and check those out. As well, we have a whole bunch of brand new apparel out there. I'm looking at one of our polos. We have a couple new shirts out there as well. So if you guys are looking for literally everything that you could possibly need for bowling, make sure you head on over to motivebowling.com, visit your local pro shop, or hit up Buddy's Pro Shop .com and get motivated. Of course, this is DJ. I'm joined by Kurt. Kurt, what's good?
What up, DJ? How are you, man?
I'm doing all right. I've had a really weird day. It's been one of those days where I feel like everything was going normally, but like nothing felt normal, I guess is the best way to put it. It was just like a day where I just got a workout in, and like the workout felt really good. But as soon as I was done with the workout, I was just like, now what do I do? Like it felt really weird. So it's been okay. How about yourself?
My day's all right. I wasn't feeling too great this morning, but now I'm feeling a little bit better, so it's all good.
I think the weather's just messing with a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, that could be it. I know there's a little bit of an illness going around this town right now.
Yeah, literally everybody's getting sick. Now for a word from the sponsors. Of course, this is DJ. I'm with Kurt. Kurt, how do you clean your balls?
I usually clean my balls with a good bowling ball cleaner and a couple apples.
No, Kurt, not those balls, your balls.
Oh,
exactly. Guys, introducing the brand new sponsor to the On the Gutter podcast, Manscaped. Right here in front of me, we have the brand new Performance Package 5.0. In this package, we get the Weed Whacker Nose Trimmer 2.0. We get the Lawnmower 5.0 that has skin-safe technology, allows you to shave in the shower since it's waterproof. Along with that, it's got an LED light, so that way you can really tackle those tricky areas. Along with the Performance Package 5.0, you get the Crop Preserver and the Crop Soother, two gels to make you stay maintained throughout the day. Along with the Performance Package 5.0, you also get the Shed 2.0, which is a beautiful carrying kit that allows you to travel on the road seamlessly, whether you're in between hotels or Airbnbs for those long week tournaments, you have the Shed 2.0. And of course, comfiness is important both on the lanes and off lanes. Brand new Manscaped Boxers 2.0 allow for you to be comfy, whether you're on the lanes, off the lanes, or just simply competing. Kurt, what's your take on the brand new Manscaped sponsorship?
I love this new sponsorship. I have the Lawnmower 5.0 myself, and it is fantastic. As well, for the bearded kings like you and I, DJ, Manscaped brings you the full beard experience with the Beard Hedger Pro, the Handyman Compact Shaver, and the Plow 2.0, all designed to shape your scuff effortlessly. They help sculpt cheek lines and maintain beard styles, giving you the best look possible.
Of course. So whether you need to shave, trim, simply maintain, make sure that you have the best balls both on and off the lanes. You can head on over and get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com using code OTG20. That's right, everybody. 20% off and free shipping using code OTG20 at manscaped.com. Don't forget to keep maintain and be all set to go no matter where you're at. Now, back to the episode. Hopefully, if you guys are listening to this, you're in good spirits and feeling well and, enjoying our company, I guess I should say. So, of course, we start off every podcast talking about our week of bowling. And this is brought to you guys by Mojo's DJ Services. So if you guys are looking for any entertainment purpose needs, make sure you head on over to mojosdjservices.com for anything that you could possibly need. Joe's got a full list of bangers. He's got like indoor strobe lights, fireworks, karaoke. He does it all. So if you guys are getting ready for a St. Paddy's Day party, make sure you head on over to mojosdjservices.com or hit up Mojo's Disc Jockey Services on Facebook. Hit up Joe and he'll get you all set. So Kurt, what was your week of bowling like?
My week of bowling wasn't too exciting. I just bowled league last week and things felt good, but the struggles continue with league. I think I shot like 540 or something. So nothing too special, but it was good to get back on the lanes. Like I said last week, I hadn't bowled, so it was good to get out there. And outside of bowling, I was able to get a few days off of work, so it was nice to have a weekend and have a bit of fun and watch the TV finals for the Molsons, and that was amazing. So, yeah, it was pretty good overall. How about yourself?
Yeah, well, we'll get talking about the Molsons later, but my week of bowling was fine. Bowled league last week. And shot 660, which felt kind of good. Missed a single pin, which wasn't great. Shot 240 the middle game, which was good, I think. I mean, I think I had an open. I think that's where I missed a single pin actually. So that wasn't ideal, but yeah, nothing to complain about with 660. Saw probably the funniest score slash choke job slash final to a game I've ever seen in my entire life. We had a guy who we were bowling against. He went front nine. He's a two-handed righty. Took four off the left and then proceeded to spare and get like six or something like that for 271.
Seven.
So you got
Yeah.
seven. Yeah.
Four
For two.
spare seven for 271.
Yeah. Which was easily the craziest, I think, score I've ever seen in my life. It was hilarious to watch that happen. So, yeah, that was obviously entertaining. Saturday ended up heading over to Bowling IQ in Sterling Heights, Michigan. I had to go pick up a couple things. Got a good little small practice session in there. I always enjoy going over there and bowling there. And then came back and watched the Molsons, same as you did on Saturday. So, overall, not a bad week, I guess. I practiced yesterday with a normal practice session, just working on a couple things, only to talk with my coach tonight or one of my coaches tonight, and for him to be like, "Hey, you're doing this wrong." And I'm like, "Oh, great." So what I thought was actually a decent part of my game is apparently wrong. So I'm gonna spend the next couple weeks working on that. It's basically just where my trail leg finishes. So having the conversation with him, he just brought that to my attention. I never realized it. So at least I have more things to work on as I go and practice. But yeah, overall, it was a decent week of bowling.
Yeah, sounds like a pretty good week. But yeah, that 271. That was, the worst part about it was the right before he bowled, Darren shoots at a spare, sends the pin all the way back to the arrows in the gutter, and he didn't even wait for the Devwood to be cleared, He was so anxious to get up there and just four off the left.
Yeah,
Oh, man.
it's one of those situations, right, where, and I'm not meaning to pick on this person, everybody says like during a 300 game for the most part you have to have one lucky strike, and I think he went Brooklyn like two or three times, right? So I'm like, listen, you've already had your lucky strikes, like you're gonna cash in, you gotta cash in. And for them to take four off the left is tough. It's not the worst thing I've ever seen on front nine or anything like that. Where was a guy back at my bowling alley that I grew up at that went front 11 gutter ball, and he
Oh.
promptly washed off the approach, grabbed his street shoes, grabbed his wallet and keys, and left. Just put his bowling, left his bowling balls on the rack. Literally just walked out of the building and just went home. And I was like, yeah, I was like, I don't blame you for that one. So, not the worst thing I've seen, but definitely very entertaining to say the least.
Yeah. Too funny. Still a good score. I mean,
Yeah.
he still beat me. He was bowling against me, so he
Yeah.
smashed me that game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a tough score to beat with 271, but it's also a hilarious score to win with the 271. So yeah, that was it was a pretty interesting week of bowling to say the least.
Yeah, well, that was pretty good because you had a good week of bowling.
Yeah.
Anyways, we are going to hop into our weekend recap, which of course is brought to us by Buddy's Pro Shop. Buddy's Pro Shop wants to recognize your success by introducing the Buddy's Pro Shop Bowler of the Week and Month programs. Winners will be hooked up with free Buddy's merch, with one lucky winner receiving a ball of choice every month. So go follow Buddy's Pro Shop over on Facebook, and you can find out more details on how to enter there. We had two regionals this week. So a couple of senior events. We had a PBA 50 West Valley Open. The winner here took home $2,000, and that went to Robbie Porter. And rounding out the top four, we had Rich Corwin, Joe Petrovich, and Scott Critchfield. And we had a PBA 60 Super Senior Tracy Classic. The winner here was Craig Miller, taking home $1,500. And rounding out the top four, Warren Ells, Ronnie Quinios, and Noel Vasquez.
Yeah. So obviously some older regionals. Got to give some love to Noel. He was a guy that I've worked with before, actually. Him and I used to talk all the time when I was working for one of the companies with him. And so super nice guy, but obviously it's not really PBA regional season right now. It's more PBA senior regional season as the tour's obviously going on. So shout out to the older guys there who are out there bowling and winning stuff. Of course, there's plenty of other tournaments. So an organization that we love to talk about with SASPA, they had their 70, 60, 50 guest tournament. So like
Oh.
SASPA has a whole bunch of different like tournament formats and everything like that. So this tournament was won by Ben Hoefs, Guy Foster, Derek Williams, and Justin Bui, I think is how you pronounce his last name. So again, you know, we talk about the tournaments that people can have and how they're able to draw in so many teams and so much interest. 70, 60, 50 guest is not a normal like tournament format. So it was really cool to see them at least be able to have that event and then obviously to the winners.
Yeah, it's cool.
We had the 44th annual Jerry Shriven Scratch Tournament, and that was won by PBA Tour member Russ Oviatt. So I bowled against Russ in college. He's got a really cool ball roll. He's like a super tall dude as well. So Russ is, I'm pretty sure, still bowling on the PBA Tour, still bowling PTQs and everything like that. So cool to see him get a win. We had the TNBA King and Queens doubles, and that was won by Dupree Dickey and Mercedes Davis. So obviously the TNBA is a huge organization as well. They have a ton of tournaments, so shout out to them for that win. And then we had Troy Stuss. He won the MSUSBC Senior Master Tournament. So I know obviously the MDUSBC is something that we bowl a lot of events. We try and make it to pretty much every event. So Troy Stuss is an absolute stud. So not a surprise to see him get the W there. And then of course we had the Molson Masters. So we want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Yeah, so the Molson Masters, for anybody listening, is basically like a big tournament in Ontario where it's a month long. You know, Kurt and I have talked about qualifying for it and all that stuff. But the TV finals this past week were live on Cogeco, and it's also on YouTube now, so you guys are able to go on and watch that. But it's a 5-man step ladder, and it was kind of an interesting tournament. So in the first match, we had Dylan Hunter and Dan Aqua, so two people who have both won the Molsons multiple times, and Dylan ended up getting the better of Dan. I think Dylan had a pretty good look. He didn't really miss a pocket. He ended up beating Dan in that first match. Then Dylan moved on to bowl against Joe Pettinato, who is obviously the sponsor of the show at Mojo's Disc Jockey Services. And just an ugly match, not really good. Kind of everybody was like, here, you take it back and forth. And in the 10th frame, Dylan ended up having kind of a bad shot slash a bad break and left the split to let Joe win. And so Joe moved on to bowl against Jason Heron. And Jason, I honestly thought during practice, I th don't think he struck in the four shots that he threw during practice. I was like, this is going to be interesting. And then Jay Heron came out of nowhere and he went like spare open and just rattle off strikes. Just whatever adjustment he made, he did. And he started striking. And Joe missed a four pin early and just couldn't catch up to Jay after that. So Jay ended up beating Joe. And then Jay moved on to the finals against good friend Darren Alexander. And the pattern was playing very left to right. There was some urethane, and you have to keep in mind that with the seniors that were also bowling, it was kind of in between matches. And Darren ended up just making a ball change, I think 3 or 4 frames in, after one of his bowling balls wasn't going through the pins properly, wasn't reading the lanes properly, and then he just started striking. And yeah, from there on, I don't think he really stopped. I think he needed the first hit in the 10th frame or count in the first shot of the 10th frame to win. And Darren did exactly that, winning his fourth, I think, Molson Masters Championship. So overall, it was a pretty cool stepladder.
Yeah, very interesting step ladder. Scores weren't really too big, but yeah, that move from Darren was good. That through the whole TV show, the right lane was playing weird for a lot of people. It seemed really tight down lane, and Darren started seeing that he wasn't carrying, so he de debated adding a bit of loft or making a ball change, and he chose the ball change, and it was a great ball change. Then he started striking on that lane, and yeah, after the first hit in the 10th, it was pretty much locked up, and he got the win.
Yeah, and I didn't watch too much of the seniors because the seniors were kind of in between, and that was when I was with Joe and Darren watching practice shots and trying to figure out what, you know, their plan of attack was. So obviously I'll have to mention as well, Mark Laborde ended up winning the senior side of the Molson Masters. So honestly, just shout out to Mark and Darren. It was a really cool, great performance. I know Mark bowled really well in the final game as well to capture it. So yeah, we'll see how that all plays out next year. But it was it's always cool to be at Rose Bowl when the Molsons are happening, just because the atmosphere is much different than what most people see during any tournaments that we have in this area.
Yeah, the atmosphere is great. They set up bleachers for everyone to sit on. They have the big TV cameras. They have like a little commentary booth set up.
Yeah.
So it's really cool. Yeah, so congrats to Darren on winning his fourth Molson Masters Open title. And Mark Laborde, that was his first seniors title, but he did win the Open 20 years ago back in
Wow.
2004.
That's crazy. That's kind of really cool to be like, yeah, I won the Open and the seniors like 20 years apart. That's pretty sick.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so we are going to get into a PBA event that we had this week. We had the PBA Pete Weber Missouri Classic. Such a cool event. They had a lot of Pete coverage on the telecast this week, and Pete actually bowled the event, and he announced this would be his last event. You know, we've heard Pete say before he was upset about not getting into the U.S. Open, and it sounds like he's not going to be bowling it, invite or not. He's done besides the PBA 50 tour. So, in the first match, we had the 5 seed Anthony Simonson defeating the 4 seed AJ Johnston 234 to 159.
AJ did not have ball motion. AJ struggled to find ball motion, and just I don't think he was throwing great shots because he was trying to force the ball motion. So not a great showing, but obviously back-to-back shows for AJ, which is really great for him.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we know he's gonna win a title this year. We called it in our preseason predictions, and a couple shows early is a good look. But yeah, his ball motion either was not there and going straight, or he tried to slow it up and it would just jump on him. It was just not good. But we did get a crotch chop out of him, so that
That's
was
true.
cool. In the second match, Anthony Simonson defeats 3 seed Matt Russo 247 to 202.
Another thing, like there during the week of qualifying, there was multiple times where there was like multiple lefties in the top five. Like Buttrick was up there, Russo was up there, Packie was up there. I think Cables was up there at one point. Like there was a Kimbaldi, I think, was up there as well. Like there's a lot of lefties up towards the top, even with Grand Fa. And there's a point throughout last week where I was like, it's gonna be an all lefty final. Like it's gonna be five lefties. And Matt, whatever, going into the last block, because it's pretty much just qualifying. There was no match play. It was just blocks on blocks and total pins kind of made the show. So whatever Matt did in the final couple blocks to kind of solidify himself on the TV show, he bowled amazing to get there. But yeah, obviously not the best performance from Matt on TV. Same thing. I think he was kind of battling between using urethane and using reactive, and he was using two balls on both lanes. So kind of a tough look for him in a way. But again, obviously past PBA Rookie of the Year, so great to see him back on TV.
Yeah, great to see him on TV, and he's now throwing the ball without his thumb in it, they
Yeah,
mentioned. So
big
that's a
move.
bit of a change for him, but it seems to be working if he made it to the TV show.
Yep.
And in the semifinal match, Anthony Simonson defeats reigning player of the year, EJ Tackett, 203 to 193.
So, what I'll say about this match is that I saw Simo switch balls and throw a fill shot against Matt Russo. And the way that the ball went through the pins, I was like, that's really good. And Simo went back to the ball that he was using. And on the right lane, he was like, flat 10, flat 10. Flat 10, flat 10. Like it literally like seemed no matter what Simo did on that right lane, could not get the ball through the pins. And EJ had a little bit of struggles throughout the middle of the part of the game. He was having some issues getting the ball right to where he needed to. He pulled like 3 shots left. He had a pocket 7-10, which was a bad break, but he went like 7-10, 4-10, 3-6-10, makes the 3-6-10, leaves the 6-10, makes the 6-10. So it had a little bit of a hiccup there, but then EJ made the move that he needed to and threw all three in the 10th to force Simo to strike out or to get the first two. And Simo like tickled the head pin on both shots, where I was like, that's going to be a 7 pin, that's going to be a 2 pin. Like his ball did not recover down lane and it struck both times. And I was just flabbergasted, even though like I thought the ball that Simo was going to use was a much better look. He found a way to strike when he needed to, and I guess that's what the greats do. So obviously shout out to Simo for finding those 2 strikes in the 10th frame to beat EJ.
Yeah, he just didn't give the pocket away and got these light, weird hits that
Super
they fell.
mixers. Yeah.
So, yeah, basically. And in our championship match, Anthony Simonson defeats the 1 seed Bill O'Neill 225 to 156. So Simo climbs the ladder, averages 227 across 4 games on TV, and wins $25,000 and the PBA Pete Weber Missouri Classic.
Yeah, and it was overall a cool tournament. And the reason why I say that is obviously I want EJ to win or AJ. Maybe more AJ than EJ. I don't know. I would have liked to see obviously one of the motive guys win. That being said, I don't think there's a better fit to win the first ever Pete Weber Classic than Anthony Simonson. If it would have been Anthony Simonson, Sean Rash in the finals, I'd be like, this was storybook. Like this is what it was made for. But Simo obviously fits the mantra, I guess I should say, of the bad boy of bowling, the new Pete Weber on the tour, right? So seeing Simon win kind of makes sense. On top of that, I think if Bill wins another tournament, like Bill's running away with player of the year. Now, again, that would help my prediction, but then that wouldn't help EJ in being the position that he is. So I think Simon winning doesn't necessarily put a halt to Bill's reign that he's got going on right now, but it definitely keeps the Player of the Year award very close throughout the first, you know, four or five tournaments that we've seen in throughout the year so far. And like I said, seeing Simo win Pete Weber's inaugural tournament just makes a lot of sense to a lot of bowlers. So overall, it was a really cool tournament. Obviously, had a wide mix of guys on the step ladder, and just obviously great to see Pete, you know, on TV throwing the first shot, finishing up the tournament for himself. The emotion that he had was crazy. You know, we know Pete on the lanes as being this fiery guy, but obviously off the lanes, I didn't necessarily enjoy it. I feel weird kind of say this. It seemed like Pete was talking a lot in between shots, which I mean, it's his tournament, so he can do whatever he wants. But just the overall emotion that Pete had throughout the entire telecast was pretty interesting, sitting with Tom Clark and just the all the little conversations he was having with the players.
Yeah, I love to see it. You know, he got pretty emotional about it, and you know, you like to see it from this guy that you always see as this bad boy, this fiery guy, to just come out and show emotion like that. That, you know, it's over now for him. You know, you do like to see it. It's very nice. But yeah, Bill O'Neill, that's my boy. If AJ could have made run the ladder and gotten to the final, I would have been happy with AJ or Bill win for sure. Love those guys, but yeah. Bill's just, he's looks so good this year, and he just continues to make shows. So he's gonna certainly put a fight in for that Player of the Year.
Absolutely.
And that wasn't it though. We did have some on Monday. We had the PBA Elite League, round 7 and 8. We'll run through these real quick. Motown defeated Dallas 2-1. Portland defeated LAX 2-0. New Jersey defeated Waco 2-0. Vegas defeated Akron 2-1. So that was round 7. And around 8, Portland defeated Waco 2-1. LAX defeated Dallas 2-0. Las Vegas defeated Motown 2-0. And Akron defeated New Jersey 2-1. So it looks like Portland and Las Vegas went 2-0. Like they won both 7th and 8th rounds. And it looks like Waco and Dallas lost both, and the other teams split.
So I think there's 16 total rounds. So we're over, you know, half the way through of the PBA Elite League. I will give a shout out here to the PBA Bowling YouTube channel, along with obviously the House Bowling, where they both have a lot of like the behind the scenes coverage of the Elite League, and the PBA is doing like their recaps on their YouTube channel. So if you guys haven't seen those or don't have Bowl TV, make sure you head on over to the YouTube channel for the PBA and check that out. But yeah, overall, I think it's still really cool. It still seems like the guys are getting fired up. Like this definitely means a lot for them. And a lot of them have been talking like, yeah, it's great. If we don't make an event, or if, you know, we're bowling an event, we get to still bowl the Elite League. They still get that camaraderie. They still get that challenge, like the professional competition, I guess I should say. So it's been really cool to kind of follow that along. Waco's definitely got some struggles going on, which is very weird and very like crazy to see. Like obviously we talked about last year how they were the Island of Misfits who all of a sudden won the championship last year, but now they're struggling this year. So I'm quite intrigued to see how this all plays out, because the bottom two teams don't make it to the final round. So it's going to be interesting to see how the rest of the season plays out for the teams, and how well you know, everybody starts to perform, especially when it gets closer to that time to start making into the qualifying rounds for the final championship.
Yeah, I love that they're doing it throughout the season. It keeps them, you know, involved in it, and it keeps people talking about it. It's not just some year-end event for, you know, these guys to bowl. It's throughout the entire season long. And yeah, I think we're going to have a really good championship telecast come the end of the year, considering these guys have been bowling for their teams throughout the whole year and not just for the special event. So yeah, I'm excited about it.
And there's been some trash talk going on. I know Portland and New Jersey were getting into it a little bit. So it's going to be pretty interesting to see like how much of that throughout the year kind of builds up and then comes out onto the TV finals.
Yeah, can't wait to see it, man.
You know, as we mentioned or earlier, if you guys heard the ad, just got a big give a big shout out to Manscaped again for sponsoring the podcast. This is a huge era for us. We are so excited. Obviously, you know, Manscaped is a massive company, so for us to be affiliated with them is honestly a privilege and just super meaningful to us. So, like I said before in the ad, don't forget to head on over to manscaped.com. Use code OTG20. That stands for On the Gutter, OTG20 for 20% off and free shipping on your Manscaped purchase and products. So, as we always do, we will cover the BTM quote or the Bowling This Month quote. This one is a little confusing to me. So, I'm going to get your opinion on it. So, without committing, it's like anything good is an accident and anything else is because you weren't committed. And that is by Susie Minshew, Things to Do No Matter What. Make heads or tails of this, Kurt. What is your take on this?
Okay, so when I first read this yesterday, I had to read it a few times and kind of think about what they're trying to say here. And we've talked on this show about committing before. And what I'm reading this as is that if you're not committing to your shot, if the result is good, it's an accident. And anything else is because you weren't committed. So if it's not a good shot, then it's because you weren't committed. But if it looks like the good result and it strikes, then that's just an accident. So I would say, yeah, I'm the king of not committing and the king of Brooklyn strikes. So lots of accidents that fall in my favor. Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty good quote. Like I said, it's a little tough to dissect and figure out what it was trying to be said, but that's what I think. It's just another quote that says you need to learn to commit to your shots in order to improve and yeah, have good results.
I pretty much agree with you. I think that anytime I throw a bowling ball, it's an accident. I'm like, I did not throw that well. And if you've ever watched me bowl, I get flack about it all the time. And I think I will continue to do this for the rest of my life is when I throw a bad shot, I just turn around and walk away. That's just, I don't want to see it. I don't want to see what happens.
It
And
always strikes.
it always strikes. But somebody, that used to be close to me would yell at me all the time. And it's like, well, just watch the ball because you'll see the ball motion. And I just never got out of it. I just throw the ball and be like, nope, whatever. I don't want to do that. That was an accident. I don't plan on throwing that ball like that ever again. So this quote is true. And it, like you said, it kind of takes us back to the whole committing to the shot. Because if you're committed to the shot and you know that you're committed to the shot and you throw it well and it ring tens, that's not an accident. That means it's time for you to make a move. If you did everything else properly leading up into that shot and to the where the ball leads the pin deck and you're like, oh damn, like I left the 10 pin, I left the 9 pin. That's not an accident. That is a move, right? So that is where I kind of take it. It's like, yeah, it's like if you aren't committed and you throw it, whatever, it's like that's an accident because you didn't do what you were supposed to do to get that result. And bowling, like we've said before, is that sport that doesn't owe you anything. You can throw it like dog trash and still strike. You can throw it amazing and not strike. So yeah, honestly, like you said, it's a really interesting quote, I guess I should say, to dissect, but just leads back to being committed to the shot because the more committed you are, the easier it is to make moves and understand exactly what your ball is doing.
Yep, totally agree. Totally agree. And now it is time for trivia. Oh yeah. So I'm gonna go with a similar format to what I did last week. Simo won another title. This was his 14th title. All right. I'm just looking for a pass from you here, DJ. Okay. Some of these I don't think you're gonna get, but they're certainly not as tough as those ones that Marshall won. So yeah, there's 14. Obviously, there's 13 I'm looking for because I'll give you the Missouri, the Pete Weber, what just happened. Your clues are going to be he won two doubles events, five majors, and four either extra frame or flow bowling events.
Okay, so he won the doubles.
Roth Holman doubles. That's his first title. Yep.
I want to say when he's 18 or 19, he also won the Mark Roth Marshall Holman with Connor Pickford.
Yeah, I think I only have him down. I think it's the Pickford one. His first title was his it was the Roth Holmans, and I only have him winning one of them.
So I believe that was with Connor Pickford.
Okay, yeah, I think so.
So there's the two there. He's won
Well,
the
that's
Matt.
one.
He won the doubles twice.
No, he won the Roth Holman doubles once. I have him winning it once. So there's
Okay.
still another doubles event. I think you can figure it out.
I mean, I would assume it's the Lucy
He won the Lucy. Yes, that was
with
his last.
Danielle McEwen.
I think it might have been. Yeah.
I
Well,
think
that's
they're
his
doubles
most
pro.
recent before this one he just won.
So yeah, Lucy with Danielle McEwen, I believe. He won the, oh my gosh, 2023 Masters.
I honestly didn't even write down years, but he has won the Masters three
Three
times. So I'll
times.
give you that.
He's won the US Open.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. He won. What tournament was it where he screamed into, was it the US Open saying they can't stop us? I don't think he has a, he's got the US Open, he's got the Masters three times, so that's four majors. I don't believe he's got the player. So does he have the tour finals?
He did win a tour finals, but that
Yep.
is not a major.
Okay, so what would be the players? Why can't I think of the four majors? Players, US Open, the Masters. What's the fourth? What is the fourth major? USBC Masters, US Open, PBA Players Championship. I'm an idiot. I can't think of the fourth major.
PBA World Championship.
No, he didn't win the World Championship, so he must have won the Players.
He won the players.
Yeah, he hasn't won the World Championship. Okay, so that's all five majors, correct?
Yes.
And he's got the two doubles, so that's
Yep.
seven.
Got those.
And he's got five extra frame. Does he
There's
have a...
four. It's two extra frame events and two flow bowling events.
So did he win Wichita last year?
He did win Wichita last year.
Does he have a Jonesboro Open title as well?
No. The extra frame ones are weird. I don't think you're going to get those ones.
Okay, so then what else, what other ones would I be missing then?
So there's two flow bowling events, and they are animal patterns.
No, I'm jeez. Last year I couldn't tell you what patterns they were. He won twice last year in flow bowling or in bowl TV tournaments. So whatever the other one that was that he won last year. It was at the
No,
beginning of the year.
we're done last year. Flow bowling was what, 3 or 4 years,
Oh, maybe it
two or
was.
three
Yeah.
years
Yeah.
ago?
All right. So let's just say that's two strikes. An animal pattern. I don't remember him notoriously being great on short. So I'm going to say shark. Did he win a shark tournament somewhere?
That's three strikes.
All right. I got nothing.
Yeah. All right. You did pretty good. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You got 9 of the 13.
I get half points for naming his partners too. So just round it up to 10.
Sure. Yeah, we'll give you 10.
Yeah.
The ones you didn't get were the extra frame Wilmington
Nope.
Open, the extra frame Gene Carter Pro Shop Classic.
Yep. Was that 2018?
I didn't write down the
I
years,
think that might have been
but I
2018,
had
but
limited
okay.
space.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I have the Flow Bowling Wolf Championship
Okay.
and the Flow Bowling Bear Open.
Yeah, no, I definitely don't think I would have guessed either of those.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, yeah, Simo, I mean, obviously, Hall of Fame career at the age of 25 or 26, whatever he is, maybe 27.
I think it's 27. I believe it's
Yeah,
27.
27. Obviously, an outstanding player. Crazy to think that, you know, how long he's been bowling. Like, he just burst on the scene and just became this superstar, honestly. You
Yeah.
know, him and EJ kind of have the same trajectory, like bowled in high school, just dominated everything, started bowling the men's tours at like 15, 16 years old, were bowling anybody that they could find, anybody that was better than them in their hometowns, and just went straight to the PBA tour and just destroyed everybody. So really just an amazing career that Simon has had. And even they talked about it on, you know, the TV show last week was just talking about his covered on Rolling Stones and everything like that. Like, he is a phenomenal person and definitely brings some light to PBA bowling and the overall bowling scene.
Yeah, the kid's great. Like when I was looking up these tournaments, I saw that he bowled his first PBA event when he was 16 years old,
Yeah.
and then that was the only event he bowled that year. The following year, he bowled four events, didn't make any cuts. The year after that, I think he bowled every stop, so he would have been like 18.
Yep.
He bowled every stop, made like $20,000, and the year after that, he made like 150,000 on
Yeah.
tour.
Yeah.
I'm like,
He's
that's insane.
the youngest player to ever win five majors, and I assume that's probably going to continue for quite
Yeah.
some time, as he is still very young and still winning majors and everything like that. But yeah, just like I said, a crazy career that he's already had, and there's so much more that he's going to accomplish because he is easily the most versatile player on the PBA tour. Do not at me. I will not, you know, I will not back down from that. He can do anything he wants to a bowling ball at any given time. Any which way you want to throw a bowling ball, Simon can do it. So,
Yeah, he can switch his role, even throw a backup ball. He can just find a way to score.
So yeah, that's good. And I definitely feel a lot better than I did with the Marshall Kent one. So that was a little bit easier for me.
Yeah, you did a lot better there. So now it is time for our question of the week. And our question of the week is asked by Stephanie. And she asks, what is our biggest bowling icks?
Yeah. So Stephanie posted this on Facebook and some of the comments were cracking me up. And I think we've kind of already talked about this, like what our biggest like things that we're annoyed
Yeah.
by.
Yeah.
In bowling. So what are your biggest bowling icks, Kurt?
I had a hard time thinking of what the difference is between like an ick and a pet peeve.
Okay.
So I know this one guy used to bowl in a league with me and he licked his fingers before he put them in the ball. And I want to say that is kind of ick.
That's disgusting. Oh, is that
Yeah.
it? That's it?
Gosh. I don't know. Like I said, anything else I've already said in our pet peeve episode. So I was trying to think things that are gross, and
Okay.
that was the thing that came to mind. So yeah, I guess that's it.
Okay, yeah, that is disgusting. Now, keep in mind, I do lick my finger and I tap my sole twice, just to kind of clean it, but I don't suck on my fingers and then put them into the bowling ball. That is disgusting. That is so gross. But okay, if that's your only ick, that is an ick, I guess, and not a pet peeve, I will definitely co-sign on that. If I see anybody doing that, I may hurl, because that's disgusting. My icks, obviously, DJ likes to complain a lot, so here I am.
Yes, you got a list.
Yeah, literally. So a couple of icks that I have, and they're actually like apparel based. If you wear a bowling polo or jersey and you tuck it into your jeans and that's how you bowl, disgusting. Ew, no. I'm fine if you want to, like, there's guys that can pull off like the jersey untucked with jeans. Like, that's a little bit more lenient. But if you're wearing jeans, I'm like, just wear a t-shirt. Like, that's where I'm at. If you tuck your bowling jersey into your jeans and that's how you bowl, ick, disgusting.
Whoever does that.
Exactly. That is such an old man thing. Like, ew, no, stop doing
Oh.
that. I can't get over that one. That also applies for if you wear a jersey with basketball shorts, if you wear a jersey with joggers, what are you doing? If you are wearing a bowling jersey, wear slacks or wear jeans and don't tuck it in. Like, that is an ick for me, 10 times over. That is just my take. If I'm wearing joggers, I'm just gonna wear a normal bowling t-shirt. You will not catch me in a jersey. Another ick is the over-the-ear headbutt, the headphones. I cannot stand watching people get ready to bowl and they have these giant like earmuff things going on, and I'm like, what are you doing? Like, there's little earbuds that look so much more natural and so much more normal. Just wear those. If I see you with big headphones on and you're practicing or you're bowling, that's an ick for me. That's just not okay. The other thing I think it's really ick, and it's really just an old guy thing, is the people who hold their towels in their hand while they're bowling, like on the approach, and they have their towel in their hand. I'm like, that's disgusting. Like, please stop doing that. So
But you
that's,
ever see the guys wipe their ball, put the towel in their back pocket
yeah.
of their pants, and then bowl?
Same thing. Don't do that. That's ick. And then I think the last thing I would say is people who eat with their right hands or left hands, depending
Oh,
whatever hand you're dominant with. When you
that's a
eat with
good
your
one.
hand and then you go bowl, like, no, dude. Like, trust me, I've worked in a pro shop. I know how easily it is to get gross things from bowling balls and chemicals into your mouth and your system from working in a pro shop. But if you are like consciously eating food and you're eating it with your right hand or your left hand, whatever hand you throw the bowling ball with, and then you go bowl and you come back and you like give high fives and then you go back to eating your food with the same hand, disgusting. Stop doing that. Be conscious of it. And yeah, so those are my icks. Those are the ones that I just sit there and like, it literally makes my stomach turn, because I'm like, that's disgusting. So yeah, those are
Yeah.
my icks, and definitely different than most of my pet peeves.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I like the last one. That was a good ick. But what it sounds like is DJ's ick is any boomer who bowls with their towel
pretty
in their hand.
pretty much, yeah. The worst person that
Their
I could bowl
jersey's
against,
tucked into their
yeah,
jeans.
is a guy who's
Oh.
wearing a bowling jersey with tucked in jeans and he's eating a burger and he's got his towel in his hand. Dude, I'm done. I will drop kick you. Like, please do not do that. So
Oh.
that is my biggest ick. I cannot stand when people do that. I've talked about it. I don't like bowling in jeans, period. I've been more open to the fact of it since losing weight, but you will never catch me tucking a jersey or a polo into jeans and bowling. Just no, that's not okay. So yeah, either way, those are my icks. We've waited until the end, obviously, welcoming the new sponsor with Manscaped, but obviously we have our interview coming up, and it is with somebody who has been all over the world for bowling. Somebody who tells us probably one of the most touching slash sad stories I think I've ever heard in bowling. If you guys are watching this on YouTube, you'll actually see me kind of tear up a little bit. But our interview is with Sandra Gongora, an amazing bowler, somebody who's been around the bowling industry for a long time. Obviously, she's out on the PWBA tour, a longtime international player, bowled at Wichita State, talked about, being coached and working with Coach Gordon Vatican from our last episode. But Sandra comes on, we have a conversation with her, and yeah, just the story that she tells is incredible. And of course, if you guys have been listening, this is also our last week for the giveaway. So if you guys are listening to this on Thursday, February 22nd, tomorrow, February 23rd, at let's say 6 o'clock Eastern, we'll be going live with our giveaway. So if you guys are listening to this right now, make sure you go on tonight or early tomorrow morning and enter the contest, whether it's on YouTube by commenting on one of the episodes listed on YouTube with your favorite episode and maybe taking your favorite YouTuber in it, or head on over to the Facebook page, the episode 100 post with Daria Payuk, and comment on that status with, again, a tag a friend and then comment what your favorite episode has been so far, and you guys will be entered into the giveaway. And we'll be doing that draw tomorrow, February 23rd. But yeah, of course, like I said, make sure you guys stick around to the interview with Sandra. All interviews are brought to you guys by Turbo Grips. So don't forget to head on over to turbogrips.com for all your bowling accessory needs. If you need a new chamois, dry bag, ice quad twos, anything like that, you can get that all at turbogrips.com. And like I said, stick around to the interview with Sandra. Don't forget to enter the giveaway. And as always, thanks, Kurt.
Thanks, DJ.
All right, everyone. Like I mentioned, we are joined by somebody who's been on the PWBA, somebody who's very well known, and somebody who kind of decided to start their own company and kind of make a splash in the bowling world. We are joined by none other than Miss Sandra Gongora. Sandra, how are you doing today?
I am great. I am very, very happy for you to invite me to your
Of course.
Podcast. So yeah, thank you. Thank you
of
so much.
Of course. So wanted to have you on. Last week we had Coach Vatican on, obviously longtime coach of Wichita State. And there's been a lot of amazing players to come from Wichita State, including yourself. So you have been a mainstay out on the PWBA tour. I know you're very well followed in the bowling world. So just kind of want to have you on to talk about your career and how you got to where you are today. So how did you get into the sport of bowling?
Yeah, well, I guess every single bowler has, a very unique story. In my case, I'm Mexican. I am from Monterrey, Mexico. That's a city in the north of Mexico. And my parents actually met in a bowling center when they were younger. They actually, my dad used to bowl league, like in a league every week. He was a passionate. I mean, he's still very passionate about the sport. He doesn't bowl anymore because, I mean, he's 74. So, I mean, he's healthy and everything. I'm thankful, but he just stopped bowling because of, his age.
Right.
My mom, when she was young and working in a company, they started a bowling tournament. You know how sometimes companies get to have a tournament every week. So my mom got to bowl because of work, and she is a lefty, and she started to like it so much, and everyone thought, well, you're actually very good.
Yeah.
So she started to do that, and she came to the bowling center more often. So long story short, my parents met and they got married, and then I am here.
That
so
makes sense.
Pretty much since I have knowledge, since very, very little, I know what bowling is. I used to go with my parents when I was very, very little. They tell me that I used to fall asleep with the sound of the pins and all
Aww.
The noise.
Yeah.
So yeah, pretty much, as one of the very good racers, in Formula One, Ayrton Senna say, bowling is in my blood, but
Yeah.
in his case was the race is in his blood.
Of course.
So yeah, pretty much since I'm very little, I got in love with the sport. Nobody forced me to bowl. Nobody, my parents didn't force me to bowl because they bowl. I just asked for it. I wanted to be there, and I asked for my first bowling ball when I was pretty much 3 years old, I
Yeah,
guess.
that's amazing. And I gotta give you huge props for even referencing Ayrton Senna, because usually I'm the one to bring up the Formula One references. So the fact that you already got that out of the way is amazing. But yeah, kind of a different story. It wasn't like you're like it was by happen chance in a way that your mom was in a company and they're like, oh, let's go bowling. And then that just kind of created her love for the game. And then obviously you came along. So, there's been plenty of great bowlers from all North America, South America. Obviously, there's been plenty of amazing bowlers to come from Mexico. But how did you get to, I kind of guess, where you are today, right? So you went to Wichita State, obviously an amazing program. Did you kind of bowl all throughout your youth and then you were recruited to Wichita State? Did you go to Junior Golds? Like, how did you get to Wichita?
Well, I think my story can relate to others, and I always thought that I had this dream when I was little. I just wanted to bowl, and I started to bowl all these youth tournaments in Mexico. The nationals, the youth nationals, they go by age. So we started to bowl, like I started to bowl since 9 years old for one division, and then 12 years old another division, and then 15, and then 18, and then the sub 21st, 21 and 23rd. I started to represent my state first, and I started to represent Mexico in international youth tournaments. I went to WAM in 2004. For my very first World's Youth Championship, I actually met Jason Belmonte, Oscar Palermo there, Stephanie Nation. She was
Stephanie
Stephanie
Nation,
Nation,
yeah.
and a lot of very good bowlers that they were also competing for their country. And I got my very first gold medal in that tournament. I was 17, so I always was passionate for bowling. I just wanted to be the best. I just wanted to compete and challenge myself to be better. But at that age, I was finishing high school, and we don't have any programs like in the US, like college or high school program bowling programs. We just go by the flow, I guess. We have these tournaments every year, and we have some people that are coaches that will help us when we were little, but we don't have any programs. So I dreamt to go outside the box, said I wanted to go and cross the border pretty much. I just wanted to go and find the best place for me. So they didn't recruit me. I already knew that Wichita State University was one of the best universities in United States because of Chris Barnes, because of Pat Healy, because of Clara Guerrero, because of a lot of very good Sean Rush, like a lot of very good bowlers that were kind of my age, but they were before me. So I sent an email, and I also sent a video. Now we're talking about a long time ago, so we didn't have social media this way. It wasn't very easy to send a video like, oh, let me WhatsApp you a video, you know what I mean? So I had to send, I'm pretty sure, I cannot remember, I don't know if I recorded like a CD or something, and I shipped it or something like that. And we're talking about 2005, okay, when I wanted to go to Wichita. I managed to go with a couple of friends for a visit for a weekend, because I wanted to visit the university, and I want them to meet. I wanted Coach Barakin and Coach Lewis to meet me in person before anything, like I just wanted to know. So my parents were struggling a little bit, so I was really looking for a scholarship. But that time, we didn't We by that time the university didn't have a lot of scholarship programs as now nowadays. So I only get a percentage. Now, when I send all this information, as I told you, I got a response, obviously from the coach Barakinen, and the email was about, yeah, we're very interested for you to be here. We know who you are because they already knew that I was competing around the world in new tournaments. So that made me feel very, very happy that they knew who I am. Because we didn't have Instagram or anything, so it was very, very difficult for us to know each other. But they knew, so I felt very happy. So I started the process to try to go there. Now, I have a very funny story I need to tell you. In 2005, that's when I first tried. I actually 2005 was the year I went to Wichita to try to get enrolled right away in the school. But they before putting you into your classes, they give you have to take an English test. Well, I didn't pass this English test. I thought I was good. I thought I knew what I was doing, but the test was not really good. So I remember calling my dad and tell him, I don't know what to do because I didn't pass the test. I won't be able to try out because I'm not enrolled, so I didn't know what to do. So I remember that it was very, very hard for me because I saved the money for the first semester because I didn't have a lot of money. And then I told my dad, I don't know what to do. If I come back to Mexico, I don't think I'll be back because it's very hard. And then he said, well, do what you need to do. So I paid that money. I wanted to do the program of intensive English. So I did 1 year of intensive English. So I couldn't try out for 2005. I missed the chance to compete with Clara, with Caroline Lagrange. Well, now it's Buffa.
Shout out
And
to
a lot of
Carol.
very good, a lot of very good bowlers in that year. I couldn't do that because I sucked at English. Like I couldn't do that. So long story short, again, I passed the year of intensive English and I started to be on the team in 2006, thank God. And then I had a very, I can say I've been very fortunate because in my state, two very good people that always supported the bowling, the lady that was the director of the Institute of Bowling in my state. They created a program where a lot of the good athletes can have kind of like a scholarship and budget to prepare for year by year. So I remember because I didn't have any money to continue to the university because you gotta pay. And in that moment, I mean, it's pesos versus dollars. So it was very expensive. And I only had a percentage of a scholarship, but it wasn't the full amount. So now that I'm enrolled and I need to try out and I need to stay, obviously I have to find a way to pay it. So these people in my country, in my city, put me in this program and they helped me pay my career in Wichita State University. And I am very thankful. Her name is Melody, and the guy, it's Carlos, and he sadly passed away at the beginning of this year for a heart attack. And he was the director of a very good bank in my country. So I am fortunate because I was able to be in Wichita State University thanks to people who supported me. But also while I was there in Wichita, I needed to be good. I needed to train hard because I knew that maybe next year they will give me a little more scholarship. So that process for me helped me grow as a person. So I always tell people the experience of college bowling is not just for a bowler, it's like for your life. To be able to make sure you are always on time, the discipline, the I needed to find me a job on campus so I could help myself. A lot of things happen when you are young, I guess, and you want to be an athlete. Thankfully, I could graduate in 2010, in 2010, as a graphic designer. And that's why I am able to design jerseys and I'm able to design my own clothing. I helped Jason Belmonte with his jerseys designs, thanks to Kuwik that makes them for us. So I had to take advantage of my career and now bowling, so I can combine them.
Absolutely.
But yeah, that's pretty much the story of how it was, to why I was in Wichita State. It was a dream, and I worked very hard to stay there. And it was a lot of obstacles that wanted me to go back to my country. And I just was very, very, I didn't want to give up. And obviously, during these 4 years, we had very good success. Like, we actually earned two national championships, one second, one third. And I was named College Bowler of the Year and MVP in 2009. I think I did. I threw a couple of 300s. I was a very successful college season for me, but also helped me grow as a person. And that's something that I will be very thankful with Coach Barakin and Coach Lewis, because they help you grow, not only bowling, but as a person. So I am very thankful that I got to meet them.
And so there's so much to unpack there, and it's funny because the people that listen to this podcast usually follow per episode, right? So if you're listening to this episode right now, you're like, oh, like Coach Vatican, that's awesome. And then you're listening to yourself talk, who was a product of Coach Vatican, and it's like the same thing exactly. It's like building as a person, building as a bowler, the discipline, showing up on time, being a good student, being a good athlete. Like that's exactly what Coach Vatican preached on his episode. So like I said before, it's really cool to hear somebody that at your magnitude that had the college career that she had be able to kind of reinstate, like, hey, what Coach Vatican taught us is my core methods. Like, it's my core beliefs now moving forward and then since college. So, I just think that's really cool. Number two of all, we talk a lot about international students and about going to school in the States. And if people can just wrap their head around that for a minute, the fact that you've showed up to Wichita, you had hypothetically a stack of cash, like, hey, I want to go to school here and I want to bowl. And they're like, well, you don't speak English, so you can't. You're like, what do you mean? So like just the fact that you had to deal with that is much different than what most people will expect, right? Like again, I'm an international student, but I never had to take an English test because English was my primary language. So going to school in the States wasn't as hard for me, I guess, as you, but that is just a crazy like even thing to process is like, hey, I wanted to go to school. Here's all my money. And they're like, ah, you don't speak English. She's like, well, okay then. So like just the fact that you dealt with that is kind of crazy. And then number three, talking about the success that you had in college, right? You are working so hard to move countries, to pursue the dream that you had, to bowl and be the best bowler that you can. Then you finally get on the team and you miss out on an amazing team, obviously, like you said, with Clara and everybody else. But then you make your own legacy, right? You have your two national championships there. You're the MVP, you're the player of the year. You know, you're an amazing bowler. You're a standout for Wichita State. So just the fact that you went through all these different things and were still able to succeed in bowling, because even though bowling is your dream or was your dream back then, it's still a lot to take on as a human being to be like, oh, I got to deal with this and I got to deal with money and I got to work on campus. And I don't know what it was like when you were at school, but most international students are only allowed to work 20 hours a week on an on-campus job. So you can't make more money than 20 hours a week at minimum wage. And it's like you're trying to do all this stuff and balance all this stuff and still have that passion, still have that dream, still have that chase for bowling. So the fact that you were able to make it through everything on top of seeing the success that you did in bowling in college is absolutely amazing.
Thank you.
Of
Thank you.
course.
I think and I always share this with the youth bowlers in my town and in my country, like you gotta really value how big is your dream. What do you really want for your life? There are some people that like bowling, but maybe as a hobby, maybe just once or twice a week in league, like my husband. Like he's a passionate of bowling, but he only bowls leagues and local tournaments, and he pays the fees for these bowling money tournaments. But he's not gonna go on tour. He's not gonna go on Team Mexico, and that's okay. That's one level. That's the greatest of our sport. That we have many levels, but he still has his company. He has to work. He has to do many things. When you have this inside you have to find a way to make it work. I
Absolutely.
respect and admire Jason Belmonte just for the fact that he's a great bowler, the best that we have, but he also is great in business. Like he always makes business here and there, collaborations and things like that. And that's why he is part of my brand, because I needed someone to push me, like to teach me, to open my eyes and see how this world works. Because I have no clue. The guys from Cool Week also helped me to understand many things, because I have no clue. And I think that's my message for a lot of people. It's like, how big is your dream? Because you gotta find these ways to stick to that and to help you get money out of it. Like, I am thankful for my sponsors. Now it's Hammer that I'll be representing on tour. Used to be Columbia 300 for the past years. Just because of a rule or something happened in the PWBA, I'm still with the family of Brunswick. I'm thankful because they all give me a contract for another 2 years. Dexter, Cool Week, Vice, like these guys, the fact that they trust us as a bowlers and represent these brands, it's also part of my commitment. Like the fact that we have contracts, the fact that we have to do good and this and that and bowl the tournaments, bowl the tour. Like nobody in my country, and maybe in yours too, and in many people in the United States, no one really has this as a big dream to be able to leave everything behind and go for it. And this is what I'm doing. I still have a lot of things to achieve as myself, my goals. And that's why I'm here every day, when I train, when I work, when I do everything, because you have these goals and the dream is big. So you gotta find these ways, and really prove yourself that, yeah, what are you capable of doing to make it happen?
Absolutely. Let's talk about that. I do a little bit of graphic design. And the reason why I did graphic design was strictly because I needed to make jerseys that I wanted to make, right? So when I first started graphic design, I was using paint, and I was like filling up little templates and doing lines and stuff like that. I was like, I can't go out to a tournament and not wear a jersey that I haven't designed for myself. I want to make sure that everything that I have on my jersey is strictly for me, right? So you have Bolat, correct? And that's a part of Cool Wick. So, what is the story behind that? I guess company, the side company there. What is the story behind it, and why did you get into it? Was it strictly for the passion of bowling and the graphic design? You kind of mixed them both together, or was there some sort of inspiration for you?
Bolat has a story, definitely a story that is very important for me. Long time ago, around 2017, 2018, I went to Japan for a demo with Columbia 300 when we did these international demos. And I saw a lady wearing like a long polo. I'm gonna start very in the back of how I wanted to create a brand, but I never really put the effort to create it until COVID came. So I'm gonna go back a little bit, and then I'll just tell you when everything started.
Perfect.
So 2017, 2018, I went to this trip and I saw this lady, very cute lady. You know, all the Japanese ladies and girls are very cute. And she was wearing this long polo and it was sublimated. It has some designs and colors and the name on the back. So I saw her and I thought, that's kind of cool. Like one piece, a long polo is like a dress. But this piece was exactly like a long polo. So the shape of the body, or let's say the dress wasn't, it was just like a plain, you know, like a straight piece. And then that made me think it wouldn't be cool. I thought it wouldn't be cool if I actually have a dress on that is, it has a shape and it can help us look good, be comfortable. Blah blah blah, all these things that one, like a lady or like a girl, can think. So that was that. That year I thought about it, and then I started to go and, you know, tournaments and bowl on tour and everything. And I kept that idea, but I wasn't doing anything. I was like, well, maybe one day, you know, maybe one day I'm lazy or like I'm busy and whatever. Now in 2019, 1 year before COVID came, we didn't know that was gonna be this big. I started to go and because as we designs, we are a designer, so I thought, well, maybe I will start to create the logo. You know, let me start and create the logo. So I started to look and I was creating the logo. So I tried three times with the registration in Mexico with the name. You know how it is sometimes. I mean, they don't approve the name because someone else is named this. And so the first one I wanted to call it 300. I wanted to call my brand 300. And I couldn't register it because there was someone else with a 300 on it. And so I was like, okay. And then it made me think, oh, like, well, this is hard. Then I thought, okay, I'm gonna name it 12X, you know. But then Forever 21, the brand, the big brand, has a line that is called 12 by 12. So I couldn't do that. So I was like, this is harder than I thought, right? Anyways, then I looked at my forearm or at my wrist, because I do have a tattoo that I always love this phrase, and it's called, this is Latin. I'm gonna try to show you guys, but it's hard to read because it's so little. Let me turn this way, like that. So three words, and this is Alis Volat Propris. This is a Latin phrase that means you can fly with your own wings. And this phrase, once I saw it for the first time, this tattoo is with me already 8 years. When I wanted to commit with bowling as a professional, I needed this tattoo to believe that I could, because I wasn't sure if I was gonna, you know, be good enough. So I did this tattoo. So when I was trying to find these names, I thought, oh my God, this is great. Like, I love Bolat. Bolat means fly. I started to do all this process. I created the logo. I registered the name. They approved it. And I was like, I already have my brand. And then I say, well, but I don't have time to do this now. So I'll just wait. So then we hit it 2020. And then we were like, oh my God, like this is actually bad, because we were locked down. Tours were canceled. Tournaments were canceled. I was in my house. I was going crazy. To be sincere, I couldn't handle it very good. There is a story that I shared with everyone a couple of years ago about my depression. I had depression because of COVID, because I was afraid to die, and I was afraid that if I didn't bowl, what else can I do? I was afraid personally that my world pretty much was ending because of COVID. And my mind was wasn't handling very good, and it's very hard for me to explain. Well, back then it was very hard for me to explain it because I used to wake up in the mornings not wanting to actually get up. Like it was like the room was dark. I turned on the lights, but the lights were gray. I couldn't see pretty. I couldn't see anything. I was just very, very sad. And I remember one day I was crying. I started to cry because I couldn't handle it. My head was going crazy with all these thoughts, and I got very scared. So I went with my dad because my dad was also locked down in the house because I was with them with my parents. And I told my dad, I'm struggling, and I'm very afraid because I'm very afraid that something can happen to me, or I'm afraid if I will do something that I don't want, because my thoughts are telling me that it will maybe it will be easy if I am not here in this world. And my dad was like, "You'll be fine. I'm here for you." So my dad was very, very, very cute. Very cute. I always think my dad is the best. Like he was listening to me. He was always with me every day, pushing me to try to feel better, but it wasn't working. It wasn't working. So I'm thankful that I have an uncle. Actually, his little brother is a neurologist. How do you say?
Neurologist.
Neurologist, I'm sorry. So I call him and I say, "Uncle, I am lost. I am scared. Can you help me?" So he told me, come to the hospital and we'll talk. So long story short, he prescribed like some antidepressant pills, and he was almost helping me. Like if he was my psychologist, he was giving me these medications. And I started to take these medications, and 1 month passed, and I still feel a little sad. And by that time, this is key. This is what I'm gonna about to tell you is key, because in these moments that I was feeling very down, I always have helped bowlers with designs and jerseys and everything. And before 2020, I was helping Jason Belmonte with designs, with some images for social media, blah blah blah. He will contact me and he will pay me for every design, blah blah blah. So he contacted me in 2020 during this moment that I was struggling, and he say, "Hey, how you doing? I might need to I need your help because I need to get to create images." And he's always business side, so he's like, blah, 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 blah. He's thinking many, many things, and I felt so overwhelmed and so pressured that I told him, "Mate, you have to find another design." And he's like, "Why? What's going on?" And I'm like, no, I just cannot help you." So he's a great guy. So he started to ask me like, but why? Because he said, "I like how you work. So why, like, are you sick? I mean, what's happening?" So I had to share with him. I had to say, I lost the way to design. I told him, "I don't know how to open my computer. Like, I don't trust myself." It's almost the feeling was like almost if I needed to be taught everything again because I was afraid. And I remember asking my dad for help to text back because I didn't know how to have a conversation with people. So this depression, DJ, I don't wish this for anyone. So when this conversation with Belmo was happening about, "Hey, I mean, no, but you can do it," and he actually was great. Like he was a great friend. He started to tell me, "Okay, well, let's open your computer, and can you please help me design this word Tell me how many times you can change the design of this word.
Right.
And that's how I kind of started to, okay, I'll do it. But I was told what to do. So
Yeah.
it helped me a little bit to have this trust.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm gonna finish almost the
No, you're
story.
good. You're good.
So he told me, don't you share with me that you had this thought of creating something for your own. And he asked me about this, and I said, yeah, but you know what? I'm not capable. Like, this is gonna be very hard, so I don't think I'll do it. And he said, no, I think you should do it. So I started again to brought like to bring again those ideas because I was told to do it. So I was like, okay, let's do it, let's do it. So that's how Bolat helped me to give me a second chance because bowling wasn't happening. And I felt that I was not worth anything. And the design and the brand and the help of friends and my family helped me come back to the life and think I'm worth to design, I'm worth to do this and that. So Bolat is so super important for me. I am thankful for my friends. I'm thankful for Belmo to actually help me with this. Cliff Barnes from Coolwick also helped me. The story, and I talked to him and I shared the story and why I needed this so bad. I needed to create this stress. I needed to do this and that. So I developed a lot of things for the process of creating the dress. Obviously, I had to find patterns. I have to create a lot of things, but I could manage to do that. And now we have a dream dress that it's happening. And obviously, when I go back and think about the story, I love to share just when I see someone down, when I see someone sad, like I don't judge why people are down or are angry. When you bowl and then you see someone and you can see in his face or her face that something is happening, I don't like to judge because something is happening in that head, you know, and because I experience it. So I just want to help. And now Bolat is helping me to help others. And then we, yeah.
That's sorry, that's such an intense story. We've had a lot of people on the podcast, and I know Diana, like if anybody's listening, go back and listen to Diana's story. She was super close to quitting bowling. Same thing, with COVID. She was struggling. She lost a close family member. But I think that like your story just resonates with a lot of people because, COVID was a hard time for a lot of people, but there's, I guess, moments in most people's lives that you just don't feel worth it, right? And a lot of us use bowling as an outlet, saying, hey, listen, like I want to go bowling. I just need to get to the bowling alley, whether it's for a tournament or just to throw a bowling ball down the lane for 20 minutes. Like, just let me get there and let out my anger. Let me feel at peace. Let me do whatever. So when that outlet is gone, and you feel like you have like nothing to turn to, like you turn that around. Like, obviously you dealt with that a lot and it was a really hard time for you. And you relied on, somebody to help you, and Belmo pushed you. And, it really just takes one person or one thing to push you to be better, to get you out of the slump. It obviously doesn't always happen. It's not an overnight thing. But if you have that one person there that's there to support you, and when you don't have that outlet, it just, you really have to refocus on what you want to do. So hearing you say that is just, it's super touching because I think a lot of people can kind of agree with that and have their own story or have their own, past that they've dealt with the same thing. And it's great to hear that you are obviously out of that now. That, you went through a very dark time, and bowling and designing helped you, get to where you are today.
Yes, I was blessed, I guess. I was lucky to have people around me to help me with these difficult times. And also I grabbed the idea of Bolat and took it like if it was my second chance. And And that's why I am trying to help out of my brand. We have donated some of the sellings like that, some of the collaborations that we have sold. I have donated to Active Minds, which is an organization for mental health in United States. When I receive messages, when I receive texts about this and that, like I always try to reply all of them because I am here for a reason. I understood that I had to go through this, maybe, to stick around and help people. That's how I see it. So that's all I'm out. That's all I am right now with the brand. I have invited people to collab because I want people to help me, and I want people to know that you do need help sometimes. And many people want to do things by themselves, and they think they can do everything by themselves, and maybe they can, but it's okay for us for help. And that's a message that I always wanna share, you know.
That's just it's very relatable. Like I said, it's very touching because I think, like I said, myself included, have went through some pretty tough times. So just hearing you say that, I especially with it being related to bowling is just beyond anything. So thank you for sharing that story. I think
Of
that's
course.
hopefully touching to a lot of people. So again, obviously, you're a designer, you have your own brand, you're doing very well for yourself in that regard. But let's talk about your professional career just a touch here. So obviously you've been on tour for quite some time. A couple good strong finishes. Obviously you've been in a realm that has had to bowl against some of the greatest female bowlers of all time, right? Like when you were coming out, Shayna Pulowowski was there, Liz Johnson was there, Kelly was in her prime, maybe even Michelle Feldman kind of towards the end of her career, kind of thing like that. So you had to deal with that. Then obviously the tour shut down, as we've spoken with many of the PWBA bowlers, like Diana, Daria, Dasha, all of them. But you're obviously, since the rejuvenation of the tour, you've been bowling and everything like that. So what has your professional career been to you? Do you find that you've reached the goals that you've wanted to? And what are your goals for the next, let's say, 5 years while you're out on tour?
As a bowler, I think we always dream to be professional, or at least to try for once, you know, to bowl with the best bowlers in the world. And I have to say that that's probably why I'm doing it. I want to be around the best. Win or not, I want to be around the best because I'll be learning and I'll be getting better. And I need to learn a lot of the things that I cannot learn at home because we don't have a tool, we don't have these programs. So I'm always trying to be around them. And definitely winning, it's something that motivates me to continue. I have been close to win a couple times. I have seconds, I have third places, fourth places, or something like that. And I feel that I'm close and I'm getting closer. But if I'm honest, I don't want to pressure myself as I used to pressure myself, because when you start to bowl for money, or you start to think that bowling is going to help you live because you need the money, then not many of us can actually work good, you know, thinking that way. So I started to feel. And I go back to Bolat now. Like, actually, the fact that bowling was my main goal, and now that I have something else to do, now bowling is more less pressure, and I can enjoy it more because now I am doing something else that I'm also good at, and it's successful. So now I am just training myself and getting better. And compete, because you gotta be there to be able to win. And I'm gonna be trying as many and as much times I can until I get it. And maybe if I don't get it, at least I am doing something for the sport of bowling. I love bowling so much. It has given me so many great times that if I am here to spread the word of let's get bowling better, let's get bowling bigger. Well, that's my title. That's my win, to defend my sport, to represent it, to share, to do many things. But definitely on the lanes, we always want to win. When I represent my country, I always want to win those medals. So it's the same. I go on tour and I definitely will try my best to win.
So you would say that you don't have any, like, I guess, set in stone goals. You just want to go out there, compete, and obviously try to win. You want to be able to represent yourself and your country and your family and everything like that. But the main goal is just to go out there and compete at the highest level that you possibly can. There's no set in stone goals of, as far as like, I want to win 10 titles in the next 2 years, or I want to win player of the year in the next 3 years. There's nothing set in stone. Just go out there and compete at the highest level possible.
Yeah, I think since I haven't been able to win yet, I think for me it would be the first step is to win once. So that's my goal. It's just to have a title, but also to be there. Like, I just want to be able to be there to try it, because if something happens, let's say, I don't know, I mean, hopefully never, but if we get injured or something, and then you are dreaming of all these many goals, but you still have to start with the process. So I want to be good in the process to be able to achieve goals. So yeah, let's say my goal is to get a title. And maybe we can talk again, and maybe I'll tell you, well, let me get five
Yeah, absolutely. No,
now.
that's definitely the plan. But like I said, I just wanted to have you on to talk to you about your overall career and everything that you've been through, and obviously with the company. And like I said, it's been a very touching story to hear from you, to say the least. So I'm going to ask you this. I think you've kind of already touched on it, but that's a question that we ask all of our guests. So somebody like yourself who just gave the story that you gave, what's that one piece of advice or that one tip that you could give to anybody listening that you think would help them see more success in bowling or in life or in both aspects?
Yes, I think we all know what, like, if your feet are really on the ground, like when you are actually on the ground, you are able to understand and really know what you're capable of. So you gotta be open-minded and think, okay, am I training the right way? Am I doing what it takes to win? Am I doing this and that? Am I spending enough time to commit to something? And if the answer is yes, then for sure you are able to accomplish all these goals. But if you are not training, if you spend more time doing other things, don't pressure yourself to win because you are not really putting the time. So everything is a process. Every single athlete on the world needs to train, needs to eat healthy, needs to exercise, needs to be healthy to be able to have the chance to do your best. So my advice will be, well, as I say earlier, if your dream is big, you will find a way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. You'll
Right?
give it
So
everything.
yeah.
Awesome. And lastly, before I let you go, where can everybody find you? Where can everybody find Bolata? Obviously, you have Belmo and Verity, associated with you guys, but where can we find you at to follow your journey and follow all these amazing stories that you have? Where can everybody find you on social media?
I appreciate your space here to
Of
talk
course.
about everything that I've been through, and to share obviously where you can find my social media. It's at Sandrita Gongora. So Sandrita is a way to say, it's like a nickname used for Sandra in Spanish. It's like little Sandra, Sandrita. So you put Ita at the end, and that's you call someone little. I don't know. So So it's Sandrita Gongora
Okay.
in Instagram and TikTok and Threads. That's the same. And
Okay.
then for Facebook is Sandra Gongora Bowling.
Okay. Okay.
And
And then
then for Volat, it's Volat.athletics for Instagram and Facebook. And you can visit volatathletics.com to see all the good and the great stuff that we sell thanks to Kuwik and all the collaborations that we have created with amazing athletes.
And all designed by yourself as well, right?
Yes.
That's amazing. Well,
Yes.
Sandra, I appreciate you jumping on. Like I said, it's been an honor to speak with you. It's been very, I guess, humbling and touching to hear your story. And absolutely, as soon as you win that first title, we're gonna get you right back on. We're gonna reassess your goals, and then we're gonna talk about what it's been like for you. Once you get that first title.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that you are doing this.
Of
It's
course.
always good to help each other
Yeah.
to help the sport of bowling. So, as soon as I see this podcast out there, I'm gonna share like crazy.
I appreciate
So
that.
I appreciate your time and thank you for everyone who is gonna watch this. And thank everyone who has supported me. It means a lot.
Of course. And everybody listening, don't forget to head on over to manscaped.com and use the code OTG20 for 20% off your official Manscaped products. And as always, stick around next week for another episode of On the Gutter. Thanks, Sandra.
Thank you. Bye bye.